If you'd open your Bibles tonight, we're going back to the book of Titus, and we're in chapter 3. And last week, I thank God how we finished up in that rejoicing of chapter 2, that it's truly all by grace. I encourage you to, well, every line upon line and precept upon precept, but really mark and ask the Lord to mark your heart with chapter 2 of Titus. You'll see that it's grace to all men, the grace to grow, the grace to fight, the grace to flee evil, the grace to do good, and praise be to God, the grace to ready and be prepared for the most glorious of the appearing of the Lord, the first trump rapture. Praise be to God, the time and the moment that the bride will be caught away in full glory. And hallelujah, it's all by grace. I thank the Lord for this. I was rejoicing with a brother over lunch today and thanking God that He has gripped our hearts so that it's because He's so beautiful and He's so wonderful and He's so loving. His brother prayed tonight, I only want to magnify Him because of Him, nothing because of us, but because grace has touched our heart to understand and to know in Him is the only good thing. In Him, praise God, is all glory, and in Him is all truth and love. So thank the Lord that He's shown us this. But, you know, as we talk about all of this grace, and praise be to God, we've known for quite some time that this grace performs all these things, and I rejoice in it. But brothers and sisters, as God always does to wineskins that are willing to receive the new wine, you'll grow, you'll stretch, praise God, you'll increase moment by moment and every day. Isn't it wonderful that we expand in the love of God? Joy upon joy and love upon love and glory upon glory. He's just a God of better all the time. And all that's needed, praise His name, is to be willing to let God just do it all. Hallelujah. And can you believe it tonight, brothers and sisters? Here we go. We're going to grow in more grace. And that's our precious word and our precious love. So let's get after it here in verse 1 of chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, everybody ready to settle down? Did you hear what was just read? Well, do you believe what was just read? Let's do it again. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, I cannot tell you how many times I've spoken to people that just want to wrestle and say, well, I understand that's the Lord, and I understand that's the elders He's put in my life, and I understand that that might be a pastor and a teacher and all these things. Brothers and sisters, God leaves no doubt. It's all in that word, magistrate. There's no confusion there. It means to those that are in authority, in government, and judicial. Now, we need to listen, and by God's grace, understand that isn't our precious Lord so on time with what we need? Think about where we're at right now. People just moaning and groaning. Aren't you thankful that Brother Paul wasn't all bent out of shape about Rome or Agrippa or Caesar or Claudius or Nero or whoever it was? See, he trusted in the Lord. He wasn't waiting, well, if this guy's in power or that guy's in power, then I'm going to have this kind of a way to go and that kind of a way to go. See, he trusted in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord that the Lord has the man for the job. And the Lord has the man for the job, brothers and sisters, that needs to be done so to continue the will of God during this church age time. I'm so thankful to the Lord in that. It's accelerating at an increasing rate. And I'm thankful again to Jesus that His word is true. He's just true. And brothers and sisters, God help us to not be bent out of shape in our time, whether it is Clinton, or whether it is Bush, or whether it is Obama, or whether it is Romney, or whoever the Lord may have. And I thank God for this. And I'll even go further. This was a time of great atrocity. This was a time when you had such a beyond a monarchy. This was a tyrant type of a thing. This narrow and thing. They might have said, well, they brought in the government and the council because that's what Rome brought in. Let me tell you something. Those were complete ones of authority, those Caesars. And yet look at the increase in Brother Paul and in Timothy and in Titus and all of those places. See, again, it didn't need a democracy. It didn't need a republic. It didn't need socialism. It didn't need communism. It just needed Jesus. The only thing that matters, by the grace of God, about any of these is that God divinely set them up over you. Know this. Know this. See, if you're going to fight and kick against it, you've missed it. And I mean this for all of those that are in authority in our life, whether it's teachers, whether it's our bosses, whether it's a judge. God holds the hearts of the kings in his hand. They cannot do unto you or do anything unless God allows them to do it. Know these things. I'm so thankful to the Lord. God so divinely showed me that one time when I had to go to court. And I was being sued by a person that had no right. It was an absolute, it was just an absolute lie. And yet, like all of our flesh can do, I began to fear. I said, well, Lord, it's just not right. It's not, they can lie. Can you imagine? People can lie. And I thought, well, my goodness, they're going to feel sorry for this or not respect that. Or, you know, and when you get into court sometimes, and I'm not ashamed to say this, it's not always down to what the law says. It might be to what somebody feels. But the thing that God showed me so sweetly, before anything was read and before anything was decided, the peace that passed all understanding kept my heart and my mind. Because he encourage my heart before, and I'm so thankful to the Lord. Honey, I have the hearts of the king in my hand. And I've told you that testimony before. As that judge was reading that verdict, and if I went back and listened to it again, it would probably still scare me. But it sounded as if I was done. And it was not going to go my way in a sense. But at the end of his lengthy speech, then he said, and I... my agreement is for the defendant, and that was me. So I'm so thankful to God that he keeps us. And I still am thankful to God that, brothers and sisters, whether it went against me or for me, I know that he's still for me, and that's all that matters. And I'm grateful for that experience. It wasn't comfortable for the moment. It wasn't joyful in any way. But yet God, in his great grace, it was a magnificent time to my life. Our duty, praise God, is such a precious duty, and what a good work it is for these that are in authority, brothers and sisters, to pray for them. Amen? Amen. Pray for them. Honor their position as unto the Lord. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Seek peace with all men as much as lies within you, the Bible tells us. And are we not pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Are we not wanting and desiring to be bridal saints? Well, then I would ask you this one question. What kind of peace should dwell in us? I believe the peace that passes all understanding. So as much as lies within you, my goodness, I believe it should be like him. And in that, praise God, we can trust the Father and let all the nonsense that everybody else wants to stir up, we can leave that alone. And it's an important time, brothers and sisters, because most of all, because Jesus is coming. And we can get our attention on so many different things, and we can be so distracted so quickly. And I see this in many Christian lives. And the enemy will turn it, and then people try to turn these things to their gain, as far as monetarily and all of these different causes, and try to tie. I remember there was a man that was trying to tie investing to the Word of God. He says, "Oh, I've got it. I know how to invest. You watch over here. You put your money in on Tuesday and take it out on Thursday." And I was going, "You're a nut." And he was. That was nutty. You're not going to find that in here, because that's meaningless to God. Your investment, by the grace of God, should be on the things above. And that's an investment that will only gain more. It will never go away. And praise God, it's laid up in Him forever. Now, verse 2, "To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." Now, see, that's like him, isn't it? I always, when I read that verse, I just see him walking down that Via Della Rosa with that cross. And there he was. They spit on him. They cursed at him. They tore his beard. They did all these things to him. And praise be to God, what meekness. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Isn't that wonderful? And that's not some far-off God. That's, praise God, Christ that liveth in us. And I'm so thankful for that precious truth to us. But you see, brothers and sisters, when we live our opinions and feelings, we'll get all worked up about the things of this earth. Now listen to that. When we live our opinions and our feelings, we will get worked up about the things of this earth. And our testimony will not be the passion for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our testimony will be like the ones of the world, that our passion is in the world. I testified a couple weeks back. I was sitting with a man at lunch. And again, he was all bent out of shape as to who had to be the president if this nation had any chance. And he asked me as he was sitting there, because he knew I was somewhere else as he was talking to me. And he said, "Well, why aren't you concerned about this in that way?" And I did. The only thing I could think of, it just jumped out. And I said, "Well, I'm not from here." And I just had met him, and he looked at me twice. And, you know, I was thinking, well, you're from a different country. You know, you don't have any accent at all. If anything, you're from a bad part of Missouri. But other than that, you know, that was kind of it. And I just, but it was so sweet, and how quickly he settled down. He's a Christian man, and how attentive he was in spirit at that moment, because it hit him that, you know what, he wasn't from here either. And I got to, and I never really thought about it. I said, well, it'd be like me going to Bolivia, and I thought it was beautiful and all that, but, you know, they were having an election down there, and they were all bent out of shape about who it was, and it's like, well, I don't really care. I'm not from here. You know what I'm saying? My citizenship and your citizenship is in heaven. And I'm just so thankful to the Lord how He's shown us this. Brothers and sisters, there are Christians whose sole purpose is to steer the course of this country instead of preparing for the coming of the Lord. Preaching a cause instead of preaching the gospel of Christ. And that's the truth. Now, I will say this. If you're led to vote, vote. And that's all fine and dandy. But I will tell you, if all your emotions are wrapped up in an election, in the Federal Reserve, into the pro-life movement, you are missing it. You're missing it. You're sleeping. That will cause you to go to sleep. And as I was thinking this, you get caught up into this, and you will be sad. Even though you'll have extra time to spend down here if the Lord comes. About an extra 3 years or so to deal with that. Is that what you want? God forbid. God forbid. We have thoughts, but put thoughts where they need to be. Pretty much in the trash can. We have thoughts of, well, it might be nice for this or it might be nice for that. Those thoughts can get you in trouble. Look and trust the Word of God. Isn't it amazing, the time we're in, the moment, you know, 4 weeks or so, 3 weeks from an election? Thank you, Jesus, that I know that it's going to be the right man. Isn't that something? Praise God. So let's do. Just trust the Lord and, again, understand He is our head. And we are one in Christ. And there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. There is neither Republican or Democrat. But we are one in Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. I think maybe we'll receive that. Because, see, I want a testimony. Don't you want a testimony by the grace of God? And a testimony like none other, that we just have the peace of God, that we rest in Scripture, and that we allow Scripture to lead and direct our lives. And when that happens, see, Scripture is the Word, that's Jesus, there will always be a joy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's in the environment. It doesn't matter what's in where I'm working, or it doesn't matter of anything. Jesus, praise God, is captivated. He's captivated my thoughts. I know that my day is coming, and I know that it is His work and His will that is being performed in my life. And there's a from glory to glory that's going on, and we're growing up in Christ and magnifying the very power of God. And the Lord help us to take that strength and that love and go unto Him out from among the camp. Praise God. And we will bear His reproach. Know that. You'll be looked at and you'll be mocked and a lot of different things, brothers and sisters. But I'll tell you what, I want to live the evidence by the grace of God that now are we the sons of God. And the evidence ain't in good works. It ain't in getting worked up about this cause or that cause. The evidence is they marked them because they know they've been with Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the word of the Lord, isn't it? Praise His name. Oh God, help me to just surrender. Let that Spirit just wield that sword in my life. I love watching Him do it. Got that armor on, and praise be to God, He takes that precious sword and He just wields it. Thank you, Jesus. Not trying to hurt anybody, but what a protector it is to myself, my life. Amen. All right, verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. See, you get caught up into that stuff. See, you were one time foolish. See, because you got the life of Christ in you. Disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. That sounds like a lot what's going on. But after that, yep, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, and by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been, that word there being should be having been, that having been justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now all I can say to that is wow. Praise the Lord. You talk about having your breath taken away and really kind of being beyond words. But brothers and sisters, may we always remember how sweet, how precious that we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. I love that Jesus saved me. I love that He saved me. There's something that's so beyond romantic about that to me, that He saved me. You talk about my knight. You talk about that one in shining armor that, praise be to God, the very glory of God saved me. Know this, that there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that comes after Him. There's none righteous, no, not one. And it all has to always be His precious mercy and grace. Praise God of our precious Lord. As it says, but God. But God. I love that. You know, sometimes when the enemy gets me a little down, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, and his great love wherewith he loved me. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Hallelujah, he saved me. God so saved me because he gave me the Lamb of God. And thank you, Jesus, I am what I am by the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? I thank him for that. What a precious testimony and a reality, brothers and sisters, that Jesus loves us so. But see, salvation hath appeared unto all men. Know this. I love how Colossians tells us that Paul's gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. We're without excuse. You know that, brothers and sisters. God would have all men be saved. And God is not a respecter of person. And we know that salvation is not by works of righteousness. It tells us again here, which we have done. We are saved by grace through faith. Praise his name. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. See, that's why we're one. Isn't that sweet? We're all just a work of his great mercy. We're all just a precious gift of his great grace. And that's why we come here, and in Jesus' name, we enter into that unity of the Spirit, and what a bond of peace and perfectness it is. I love it. God help us to treasure it and to just be pillars. Isn't that wonderful? See, you just stand and he builds that up, line upon line and precept upon precept. And isn't it wonderful to grow in that great love? That's what it is. It's just that love. And you understand, again, this is his love to me. As finally that Shulamite said, I am my beloved's. See, first of all, she said, oh, my beloved is mine. See, he's mine, you know, in that regard. But she finally surrenders and said, no, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. See, he'd been preaching that to her all the way along, hasn't he? And see, she was trying to, I got to look good for him, and I got to show him how much I love him. And he's just saying there, honey, you don't get it. You don't need to fix yourself up. I'm coming for you now. You can't be distracted. I just want you. I want you. I want you with little messy hair. I don't need your makeup on. I just want you. Now that's a guy that's in love, huh? Brothers? Amen. All right now. Sisters, don't take advantage of that now. I'll go ahead. But isn't that precious? See, that's how he loves us. And I did want to make note that that statement there where it says, should be made heirs, in that seventh verse. Don't let this confuse you a bit, because read the full seventh verse. See, sometimes the enemy will even try to get you to pick things out, besides just having another somebody try to come in and use this or use that in regards. But again, read the Word of God. Read it in context to what it's saying. And in that seventh verse, it's very clear that having been justified by his grace, that's done. It's finished. Justified just as if I never sinned. I'm so thankful to God. It's right there. It's done. And now it's just waiting to be revealed. And that's exactly what should be made heirs means. In the Greek, it means waiting to be revealed. See, now are we the sons of God. But someday, he'll make it known to all that I have loved thee. Isn't that magnificent? Praise the Lord. And see, that's to his glory. That's not to my glory. That's to his glory, because he did it all. We are his workmanship. Remember, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's exactly what that is. And see, in that abounding in hope, brothers and sisters, and that confidence of who we are in Christ, that's not, again, to me, that's to him. That magnifies him. And that's the difference of ones that might interpret that in some way, shape, or form. Oh, you're trying to magnify yourself. You're trying to... No, there's nothing about myself I could ever magnify. but I know that Jesus lives in me. And praise be to God, there's nothing more magnificent than the life that I now live. Because that life I now live, praise the Lord, is by faith. By faith. And remember, it's only the life of Christ that can have that faith. Isn't that wonderful? See, a sinner can't have that. The sinner cannot have faith because they don't have the life of Jesus in their life. But the life of Christ in me has that faith. And see, that's why we can be confident. I can, because of Christ, believe all things. Because that's His will, it's His purpose, and it is His life. When I speak to people and I say, I just maybe don't understand, or I can't do this, or I don't yield and all that. Sure, this flesh doesn't. Mine doesn't either. Nobody's flesh here yields. It just doesn't work that way. But Christ in me does. That power, that spirit, praise God, is there. And I thank the Lord that as we rely not on self, but on Christ in you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Greater is He that is in me, not me, but in me, Christ, than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. That's in all of His children. That life, that completeness, that life that's blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, it is all there. I can't tell you how God has been just another height of glory, rejoicing in this week. In God, give me more of that knowledge. I want that knowledge. Hallelujah. The knowledge of who? To know Him. To know Him. So wonderful in that. Now, I also want to note there, in verse 5, where it says that He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's some big words in there and some big things going on in there. And you know it because that's the Trinity working in there. Hallelujah. But this here, brothers and sisters, is speaking of the washing. There was a type of washing that the high priest did. You'll read it in Exodus 30:21, where they would go in and they would wash their hands and feet. And that would symbolize one thing, and that was the new birth. I'd like you to turn with me to John 13:10. This will shed some more light on that agent, that precious agent, which is the Holy Ghost in our salvation, to understand this a little bit more. But in John 13:10, it says that Jesus saith to him, he that is washed, listen to this, he that is washed needeth not, again, wash is what he's saying, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean. This is sweet because this is when they used to go to the bathhouse and they used to bathe. They didn't have a tub in the home. They would go out to a public place and they would wash and they would be clean. But when they would walk back, their feet would get dirty. But the body, hallelujah, was clean. And that again was the, as this verse is saying, it's once for all. It's done. It's finished. That clean is clean as clean can be. But brothers and sisters, in our walk, in our daily life, by God's grace, we need to wash in the Word, don't we? Hallelujah. See, this is speaking of that fellowship. This is speaking, praise God, of that communion that He wants, truly unbroken fellowship. And that comes with the mature sons of God as we yield and we bathe continually in the Word of His grace. That was our message on Sunday. When we don't eat, when we don't feed upon the Word of God and continue to feed upon the Word of God. And feeding upon the Word of God, yes, it's in reading the Word of God, but it's meditating upon Him. And as Brother Hill used to say about that cow, go sit under the tree and just chew the cud. Enjoy the Lord. Let Him minister to you in prayer and all of these things, in fellowship, in experience. Your life, brothers and sisters, is the Word of God. We live by faith. You don't live by anything else. Anything else you try to live or to live by is a lie. And I do. Get a picture in your mind. If you've got a pet, every time you try not live by faith, it'd be like you living like that cat or like the dog. You're not a cat and you're not a dog. I don't care how much you bark or don't bathe or eat his food or anything of that matter. You will not be that because you're not that. And that's the same way it is with Christ. When you're born of God, you're a child of God. That's it. And the only life that lives in you is the life of Christ. And that life only lives, Father, thy will be done. It really does. And that's faith. I want to live more of that life. That's why I said I came to give life and to give it more abundantly. I was thinking, as brother is praying, it just sparked my heart again. Lord, I want more of that abundant life because you're so beautiful. You're so lovely. I just want to experience more of that. I want that to grow in my life. And truly, as backing up to the very beginning of it, because it pleases my Father who's been so good to me. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, this is a love thing, isn't it? It's not somebody waiting over me with a big stick. It's not trying to do something to earn something to get a favor. We don't need to manipulate God. He's way above that. Not going to happen. I know people that try to do. I'm going to do this to get that from God. I'm going to do this to get favor. And see, ministers, preachers will do that. That's the prosper and be in health. That's exactly what they try to do. You know, you do this and you give that. Oh, God will give you tenfold. Word of God said, you feast upon the word, it's going to be sweet to the mouth and bitter to the stomach. Isn't that something? He tells you exactly how it's going to be. You really want to go after me? You really want to know me? It's going to be in suffering, isn't it? Amen. Conformable unto my death. Oh yeah, power of resurrection, because you're going to need that overcoming power. But it's going to be all because you're going to know me in the fellowship of my sufferings. You're going to have to really love to go that way, aren't you? Praise the Lord. That's what it is. Thanks be to God. And you'll see that even in marriages in the natural when people love one another. They love one another so much, their families might not match up very well. Might be a lot of things in families that don't look good, but yet that person loves that one so much that they go. So, how much more so it would be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, see, whether it's the Word in what we've read here too in verse 10 of the 13th chapter, washing or the word bathe, they mean the same thing in the Greek, and that means washed clean, completely washed clean. And see, that's what the blood of Jesus does. Isn't that wonderful? As far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Remember that, brothers and sisters, because again, that is the life of Christ. And when we go and try to remember and dig up one another's sin, God help us. That is not anything Christ-like. It's just not. Now, we want to, by God's grace, encourage one another. But when we fail, as Brother was speaking on Sunday night in that little Bible class, and he was just rejoicing in it. Ye that are spiritual, amen, restore. Wouldn't that be it? Instead of having you get up and say, well, what great sin do you need to repent to everybody in? My goodness. My goodness. Did we not learn that back from the very beginning, even with Noah? Did his sons, when they found him naked in there and drunk? Well, come on, Dad, we got to parade you around here and the people. Come on. Just walk you around. Nope, you can't cover up and you can't sober up. We're just going to walk you out here. They didn't do that. Amen? Amen? Then why would we? Don't get caught up in hate. Don't get caught up in judgment and condemnation. That, I'll just tell you, you will miss it. That is not a full overcomer. That is not one that is ready to marry, because that's not one that adds to the usefulness of the husband. Amen? Amen. Now, we know these things, brothers and sisters, but God help us to identify that. See, that's that, Lord, search me. Hallelujah. I don't want any root of bitterness. She's going to be a chaste virgin. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And I'll tell you, she's a joyful one. She's happy and thankful and sees that restoring power of Jesus. But there's a little more here. I want to go to John chapter 3, and let's look at verse 5. Isn't it fun to study the Word of God? Isn't it wonderful? I'm so thankful to Jesus that He is enjoyable, see? And I'm thankful because, see, the Word is alive. This isn't just words on a page. It's alive in us. And I love to read about my life. I love that. This is my Lord who lives in me. Thank God I'm a son. Hallelujah. But John 3, verse 5, it says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Born of water and born of the Spirit is the same meaning that we have here in Titus about that regeneration of the Holy Ghost. See, the Word of God, that's the water, as it's stating here. That's the Word, Jesus, along with the agent of salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Here's the agent of salvation knocking at the door. There's your agent. You know who that is? That's the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost knocking at the door has the Word, has the water, praise God, and that's how everybody comes into salvation. This has nothing to do with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. This is a completely separate thing, and people try to mix this and confuse this, but it's very simple. See, the Holy Ghost is the one, again, that comes to the door of our heart with the water, the Word, and that is how we receive salvation. The Spirit comes upon us, praise God, upon us when we receive salvation. But the Spirit comes into us when we receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Just as the Word of God, Jesus our Lord, said to His disciples, "I must go, and the reason I must go is so that you would be led into all truth, guided into all truth." The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, He has been with you and shall be in you. And after that, you'll read in the 9th chapter of Acts, in the 18th chapter of Acts. And it's very clear, brothers and sisters, as the different ones would come to minister the Word of God. "Have ye received the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, since ye believed?" And they said, "We haven't heard so much of this Holy Ghost. We've only been baptized in the name of Jesus." Well, let me tell you something. You've been baptized in the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. But they didn't know anything about the infilling, did they? And they prayed with them, and they would lay hands on them, and they were speaking in another tongue. The sign, praise God, of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And there is seems to be a little bit of that. I've heard it just a few times. And it is the work of the enemy. There's ones, again, that will come in and try to pacify someone that might be a little bit frustrated, a little bit discouraged, and somebody that maybe has been tarrying to receive the Holy Ghost in their life. And it was popular at a certain time, and usually, see, that devil, he's just like a circling dog to his vomit all the time, so there's not really that many new tricks. But, oh, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you just haven't received your prayer language yet. That's deadly to people, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you. And correct that immediately. Immediately. The infilling, it will be evidenced immediately with the evidence of tongues in life. And that being missed in someone's life, you can go right here to John and understand without the Holy Ghost, you cannot be guided and led into all truth. You'll see things afar off. You might even be able, because let me tell you something, just the Holy Ghost's presence on our lives, it's a powerful thing. Praise the Lord. Look at all the ones in the Old Testament and the things that God had encouraged in their lives and the power that was given to them to prophesy, to perform miracles and all of these different things. But we're talking about a better thing to us. Not just to, again, power to preach. Not just, again, all of these different things. We're talking about the infilling power to be readied by the grace of God to be Jesus' wife. And that is only the work, praise God, of grace that can only be given and delivered by the Holy Ghost. And I thank the Lord for that. And it's very clear throughout all of the stories, pretty much, in the Old Testament, from Adam and Eve to the bride for Isaac, to the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon, to the virtuous woman there in Proverbs. And you'll see it in the cherubim in Ezekiel and Isaiah and all of these different places. In Daniel, you'll see these things. Brothers and sisters, it's all over the Word of God. And Paul's gospel is what brings it all out. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? And praise God how that is. But see, again, that is the purpose and the plan and the provision and the power that was given in ages past. In ages past, that he would have a people for his name's sake. Praise his name. So this is some wonderful stuff, brothers and sisters. And I thank God as he continues to reveal this. All right, let's wrap it up tonight with verse 8 as we go back to Titus 3. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. So this is a continue thing in our lives, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now, that doesn't mean to be just uptight and trying to figure out what I need to do and all of these things. This is something that is a compassionate one, one that has passion to others. This is right going back to verse 2, showing all gentleness, this meekness to all men. We want to be a testimony, not in any pious way, or that's not a testimony of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a testimony of a jerk. I don't know how else to say that, you know, a condemning one, one that wants to hurt you. That's not somebody that loves you. But I'm talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory, to magnify the love and the grace of God. These things are good and profitable unto men. See, just being a men pleaser, that doesn't get it done. Telling people what they want to hear, that'll hurt them. You need to tell them the Word of God, and by the grace of God, to live a testimony. This truly, this verse 8 here, brothers and sisters, is right there in James. Faith without works is dead. See, a life that is not in word only, but in deed and in truth. See, when the Word works effectually in us, it's because we believe the Word of God. And when you believe the Word of God, you will change. You will be transformed, praise God, into His image. You will grow from glory to glory. And those glories might be some great defeats in your life. They might be some great hurts. They might even be some great failures in your life. But by the grace of God, you know Him in the power of His resurrection. And let me tell you something, that's all powerful. There's nothing that can keep you down. That's called a full overcomer in Christ. That I know that He is for me. And if He be for me, who could be against me? Even myself. Oh, you missed it. You ruined it. You blew your whole life. No, I didn't. By the grace of God, I'm walking with the Lord today. See, you've just got your little blind mind on 75 or 65 or 85 years. That's right here. God's looking throughout eternity for you. Huh? Come on. Come on. This is what this is. And God help us to look up. May we always recognize that it's all because of grace through faith, that we are His workmanship. He causes us to will and to do of His good pleasure. As we receive His love and believe more of His precious word, what does that do? It transforms us. It causes us to be the people we never thought we could ever be, that we never even knew that we could be. We live those things, brothers and sisters, truly, as I have stated many times, and I know you know this, you're watching that new man. That's what you do. You observe the new man. And I love it because I say, oh, Lord, I know that's not me, that's you. Because I would not do that, but I know you do. He's beginning to will and to do of His good pleasure in me. That's what's so beautiful. He transforms this life from glory to glory into His image. I was rejoicing in that glass darkly. You know, that's a mirror. Did you know that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is it becoming a little more clear all the time? Do you see a little bit more of Jesus in your life all the time? Line upon line and precept upon precept. Hallelujah. That's loving his appearing. Remember we talked about that? Loving his appearing in you. Loving his appearing, obviously, when he comes. But do you really love his appearing in you? To give it over? Lord, I want it in every bit of my life. Do you love that appearing? Oh, what a wonder. I heard that many times. Praise be to God. But see, we become like him. The good works pour forth, not because we think them out, not because we try to perform great deeds and goodness to society, but his good works pour forth because his love works in us. His love works in you. And when his love works in us, brothers and sisters, it will always encourage our lives in truth and love. We don't have to think about what we're going to do. God will bring it. We just go out like Abraham. We don't know whither we're going, whither, thither. We just go. And praise the Lord how he increases. And praise God how he already prepared. I mean, all he knew what to do was to make idols in an idol shop. Did you know that? And yet he had him raising herds and doing this. And most importantly, building altars everywhere he went. Praise the Lord. God, help my life to be an altar that just praise you all the time. What a wonderful time it would be, huh? See, but it couldn't be any more clear, brothers and sisters, when Jesus Christ told us. He said, the poor will always be with you. They'll always be here. But me, you have just a little while. Now, why do I say that? Help mankind? You know how you're going to help mankind? With the Word of God. With the Word of God. Don't look first to their physical needs. Give them spiritual nourishing. And when that's received, my goodness, how the Lord will pour forth his faithfulness to his children. Amen? See, I don't want to feed a little Hittite. Oh, what did he say? The word of the Lord. I do not want to feed a little Hittite, because a little Hittite will grow to a big Hittite. And I'm not stupid. I know what the big Hittite will do. And more importantly, praise be to God, I don't want that dirty self-righteousness in my life. But I do want, if the Lord bring to that city, to give out the message that transforms a life from dead in trespasses and sin to a life, praise God, that he will never leave and he will never forsake. And praise be to God, born of God, he will never be begging bread. Isn't that something, how people that are going out to do missions, they're going to build them something. Oh, we got to feed them first. Meaning physical food. We got to get them water first, or, you know, you got to do something or they're not going to listen to you. I don't fish like that. And the Lord didn't fish like that. You give them the Word of God. And if they'll respond to the Word of God by his grace, he's a God that is forever faithful. He's a God that'll have you in a desert and your clothes, your shoes will never run out. They'll always be new. He'll feed you. You might complain about what he's feeding you, but you won't be hungry. Sweet Brother Kelly called me tonight having a little trouble with his car. But there's a man who loves Spam. I saw people shudder. But he grew up on it. And praise the Lord, he still likes to have it every once in a while. Be thankful for the manna. Amen? You know what I'm saying? More importantly, you know what God's saying? There's nothing sweeter than when the joy of the Lord is your strength and you're feasting at a table. You could be eating on lobster and steak, and if you have no joy, it's like eating dirt and rot. Oh, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Praise God, keep me hungry and yet keep me full. Huh? Yeah. He just satisfies you, doesn't he? Hallelujah. I just like looking at your faces as you know what God's transforming your life. Praise the Lord. But see, brothers and sisters, give people a God that will supply all their needs according to His riches in glory. Amen. Yep. And the Lord will take care of it. And the Lord may use you, yes, to look upon that brother's need in some way, shape, or form. But I know the need first and foremost and always is the word of the Lord. And all of the rest that will follow. God will use the Samaritan. God will use this vessel. God will use this joint and that joint. As I said of the body, as I said to a brother, I said, man, I don't want to be a joint like I was feeling yesterday, a joint of pain. I want to be a joint of gain. It's the truth, isn't it? Amen. But I know sometimes we ache. And thanks be to God that we can be a vessel that adds to the usefulness of the husband. Hallelujah. Sure love him and I sure love you. Praise his name. Let's stand for prayer.